In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. As the subject of my sermon, I shall read from the book of Luke, from the 24th chapter, verses 32 to 34. The words are in Jesus' name as follows. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Amen. The text I read takes us back to those events of Easter or Passover, and to that period of time after the resurrection of Jesus. When I was thinking about my sermon and wondering what would be something that would be a text that would be familiar and safe on the one hand, and then which on the other hand would be suitable or appropriate for us. And as I have been considering this sermon of mine, I would like at the very beginning to ask, can I believe my own sins forgiven? Thus I wish to believe. These disciples of Jesus, these ones who were witnesses, eyewitnesses who saw everything that had taken place in the life of Jesus. These people were able to see how the writings of the prophets had come true, how the promise of the seed of the woman who was to crush the head of the serpent had become realized. And they also had been able to experience what was written through prophet Isaiah, how he carried our sickness and how he has been injured on behalf of our he has been stricken. The punishment was on him so that we would have peace, and we have become healed up with his stripes. And Isaiah speaks more about his punishment and how he did not open his mouth and so on. On the other hand, the disciples had also been able to see the fulfillment of that prophecy of how the sword of the Lord on my shepherd and on that man who is close to me. And how does The Lord Sabaoth say, He scattereth the flock, and so I shall turn my hand toward the small ones. For the disciples also, Jesus had spoken a lot about his upcoming sufferings. He had talked about his upcoming mission and why it was that God had sent him to this world. When the disciples listened to all of these speeches, we have heard during these services spoken of many of the disciples and of their human nature, of their characters, characteristics, and what their attitude was toward everything that Jesus said. And they also needed to consider how they themselves were believing. A lot of times, the words and instruction of Jesus were such that they pierced the hearts and minds of people. Often, even the disciples were offended by them, not to mention the scribes and other people of that time who did not believe the teachings of Jesus. The Gospel of John speaks of those situations, how they had a conversation about how the words that Jesus spoke were so harsh, and many of these disciples abandoned him, saying, "Who can hear it?" When Jesus became aware of this, he asked these disciples, the other ones, the ones that had stayed behind with him, they asked him, "Are you offended by this?" But Peter, who was so often quick in many things, he was the one that answered so many questions, and he answered and says, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And they had understood Jesus Christ as being the Son of the living God. But it was the same Peter who, when Jesus foretold that before the cock croweth three times, you shall deny me three times. Jesus needed to confront this question when he was near the campfire. According to the Gospel of Luke, we are told here, we will not go into the details here, but just to refresh our memory about how Jesus had instituted communion as a union of the new testament of the new covenant. Jesus knew that Judas was among the disciples, the one who would be betraying him. Jesus saw also how the disciples were arguing one with another about who was the greatest, and so on. And also on the Mount of Olives, in the midst of the things that happened there, Jesus encouraged the disciples to watch with him. And that they should pray so that they would not be tempted. in his prayer there, Jesus was suffering. And we see there his human nature, his drops of sweat were like drops of blood. And later it says how Judas did what he did. He provided instructions for those that were seizing Jesus, and then they took Jesus to be judged. And near that, when he was near the parsonage, Peter was able to experience how he denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed. So how did Jesus deal with Peter then? He did not approach him or look at him from above. Instead, Peter's and Jesus's gaze or eyes met, and Peter went outside and cried bitterly. Our portion, our text, speaks of how before this, Jesus had been nailed on the cross, he had been buried, and the word of his resurrection had traveled to the people by Mary, among other people. The Jews or the disciples were scattered because of fear. And so it had happened that the shepherd had been struck and the sheep had been scattered. And so the scriptures had been fulfilled. These two disciples, the ones who were traveling on the way to Emmaus, they had many temptations. They had doubts. They had an assumption. We assumed that Jesus had been the one who would redeem them or free them from the temporal captors or governors. And so they were telling each other their experiences. Jesus appeared to them as an anonymous person or a person they did not know, and he asked them, "What are you talking about? Why are you so sad?" And then they explained to him what had happened. They asked him, "Are you the only stranger who does not know what has happened?" Jesus directed the thoughts of these disciples back to the earth, to the ground, when he says, "Thou slow in heart, isn't this what should have happened? Isn't this what should have happened in order to fulfill the word?" And so then he began to speak about what had been written about him. In this time, when we think about this also, is it also with us? It is important that we discuss, stop, and speak about the way in the journey, that we discuss those things that pertain to our matter of faith, our life of faith. What temptations I have had, how I have managed, how, and about those events that have happened in our lives. And so, our lives, this is an important reminder. This text is an important reminder that we would speak with one another about the way in the journey, just as they did in our text, those who were traveling on this way to Emmaus. These disciples were people just like we are. We too fear. We often ask, what kind of a time is it? However, it is comforting when we see how the Word of God encourages us to believe. It encourages us on this endeavoring of faith wherever we are. It encourages us to believe. Our time is a very temporal one. And the question is often presented, has God truly said so? Is it truly written like this? Are the writings of the Bible still valid? Our time presents its own challenges, but in their midst, God has promised in His Word that I shall be with you until the end of the world. As the prophet said in his day, I shall give you a future and a hope. I shall give you that which has been written in the Word of God. It gives us a feeling of security, a feeling of trust in the doctrine of the Bible. It is not necessary for us to lend our ears to the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and by the hearing of the Word of God. And so we can find that we are traveling in the steps of the former saints. When in one's own life of faith, one thinks, and you wonder what the kingdom of God means to me. What is the relevance of the house of God, the relevance of the kingdom of God in my own life? Jesus Himself taught and said, the kingdom of God is among you. When Jesus was proclaiming His mission or program, He says what we have heard so often here, that the kingdom of God is nigh. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe your sins forgiven, and ye shall receive faith with God. How then is the kingdom of God visible in my life? We can ask this, each one of us, personally, of ourselves. Is it a candlestick made of gold? Or is it like a destroyed city, covered with errors and faults? We see and we experience that here in the kingdom of God, it is people that we do the work as people. We make mistakes and faults and errors, and we can see that this group consists of human people, or people who are human. But when it appears to us, as it did to the prophet Zechariah, that what he saw was like a candlestick which was made of pure gold. This time also brings temptations and ideas about the existence of the kingdom of God, or its essence. Is it a kingdom of forgiveness and grace in our lives? We often experience losses or failures. For example, in the case of my grandchildren, one evening when we had been visiting with our grandchildren, when their parents had been on a trip, on the last evening, one girl was quite restless, and she was really looking forward to her parents to come. She couldn't get any, she didn't want to go to sleep. And so as her grandparents, I needed to reprimand her a little sharply, and she became offended, and she put her face down and was down there for a little while and then waved her hand. She waved to her grandpa and said, "Gramps, you can't always win." I don't know who was the target of this girl's lesson, but I myself thought that, "Grandpa, you two are sometimes weak." But in the midst of these humanness, we should not remain in those troughs or holes. Instead, whenever we have had to suffer a loss, we should, in that situation, have the energy to forgive from the heart. I also think that in my own life, we experience losses, and we sometimes become offended, and some people might actually say offending words, as I too do. But we shouldn't remain in those trenches or ditches. We should instead have the energy or the strength to forgive, to forget, and to show mercy. And when God has been able to inspire mercy in our lives, then that gospel of forgiveness encourages us or comforts us in our homes. And this pertains to parents, to young couples, to children, and in all endeavors, wherever we are. Our text also encourages us not to go too far from the center of the kingdom of God. Instead, when we are beset by temptations, when we are strained, we should act just like the disciples did on the way to Emmaus. Our text tells us at the very end how the disciples felt in their hearts, how Jesus explained how shouldn't this have happened in the writings. And when evening came, they had dinner, and Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he disappeared from their midst. And then, one to another, they often also spoke to each other and said, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And that's why it is important that we should lend our ears to the Word of God. Because just as it was because what happened with these disciples was that when they talked about this, then their assumptions vanished the temptations they had. They left and they went back toward the other disciples, and they spoke there about how Jesus truly had arisen from the dead, and he had appeared to them. And they spoke about how Jesus had also broken bread to them. And as they spoke about these things, it was as if their hearts and minds became peaceful. May their words encourage us here in this time. May it encourage us in the kingdom of God to live openly with an open heart, to come together, to be there, and to rely on that knowledge which we receive from the kingdom of God. Quite often our time poses challenges, makes the kingdom look like a building of sticks in this world. But may God give us strength so that this kingdom would look like a kingdom of grace and forgiveness. You, dear older people, you have an important job in supporting our young ones. And also, in this generation, we have our own job to speak, just as the psalm writer wrote, to speak to the to our children and our grandchildren of God's acts in our lives. We all have our own tasks in our lives. May God allow us to see hope for a better life wherever we are in our lives. The grace of God. My own father, who 1 year ago was able to go away, in his final years, he had lost his hearing entirely. However, when he was on his deathbed, when we communicated using some sort of tables, I blessed him. I preached the gospel. He wrote or said, "I believe." For a while, he wondered about that question. And then he said, "By grace, by the grace of God." May this grace of God also be working in us so that we would be able to experience, just like the apostles, that their hearts and minds became peaceful. And when Jesus appeared to them later, he says, "Peace be unto you." One day, after this time, we shall once again see the reason why we have believed. This faith of the resurrection is still true in our time, 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years after our text. Nevertheless, in the midst of doubts, we can experience, just like the travelers on the way to Emmaus, that faith was ignited. It was, and there was also love born between children of God, and they were given the mind or the heart that we want to be there wherever the saints of God are. Therefore, brother and sister, you can here and now believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. And when we believe this way, our faith will one day become transformed into seeing, and that is why we wish to extend greeting, tell each other, have a good journey. And those of you, travel friend, who are experiencing that I have become estranged from this group, or those of you who feel like I don't believe in this, I don't belong to this group in any way, and so on. And so of you, and you too, who are experiencing these things, it is with love that we wish to invite you to join this kingdom and to join the forgiveness that it, the kingdom offers. You can uplift your hearts and believe the sin of unbelief forgiven. And when you believe this, God generates love in you toward God and toward the children of God. And that's why we organize summer services. We sow the seed and we pray that God will give increase to that seed. It is with this prayer that we wish to pray, wish to proclaim, as Jesus said. And it is comforting and safe for us to experience and to stay in the faith of God's Son. It responds in, reflected in peace in our hearts, just as Apostle Paul writes and encourages. God encourages us to keep God in our hearts. That's why we can continue on the journey, believing our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen.